If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Well, a very warm welcome to the My Racing Podcast. I'm Ed Quigley, long shot Ted. Delighted to say I'm joined by two fine minds from the My Racing team. That is, of course, James Boyle and Owen Goulding. They'll be sharing their thoughts on all things horse racing. There's been a lot of stuff in the media at the moment, lots of stuff on the track as well. I think it has to be said that would be a fair reflection. Of course, before we begin, don't forget to follow us on My Racing on Twitter and please gamble responsibly. Gentlemen, great to have you along, especially you, Owen. You've been flying around the world. Where are you now? How are things going?
Yeah, well, very good, thanks, Ed. Had a lovely trip to Los Angeles last week, which refreshed the batteries and raring to go and get back into the racing.
What were you up to in Los Angeles at the peak of the National Hunt Jump season? I mean, that's almost blasphemy.
I know, that is a bit of a cardinal sin, but I took a little time to go watch DreamHack Anaheim, which is a little esports event on the coast.
That makes very little sense to me, but I'm sure it was wonderful. As long as your batteries are recharged, that's fantastic. Now, James, last two times I've spoken to you, you've been sat on your sofa watching either Storm Ciara or Storm Dennis. It's probably going to be Storm Jorge arriving this time round. Are things changing from your point of view?
Not changing very much now, Ed.
I like it. Yeah.
Was at the same crack over the last week as well, watching horse racing, taking notes for Cheltenham and looking forward to a few good weeks.
Well, at least some of us are studying. Now, I do like it. Well, you mentioned you've been looking at watching the racing over the last week or so. Solo was the horse from last week, I think we should touch upon, after his emphatic display winning the Adonis by 13 lengths at Kempton. I mean, what did you make of the whole race? He fairly bolted up, didn't he, James?
Yeah, it was very impressive from a visual point of view anyway. I know you can crab different little bits about the form, but I think just looking at him, he looks like a high-class performer. Paul Nicholls is clearly talking about him in very high regard, and the fact that he was sent off at as short as 6-4 on debut for the yard as well shows that he is held in very high esteem. So he's obviously gone straight to the front of the Triumph market now. You can understand that. But I would have questions over the form, definitely. Fujimoto Flyer was in second. I thought that she didn't appreciate the run of the race whatsoever. So you can think that maybe if things had panned out a little bit better for her, that she would have troubled Solo a little bit more. But I don't know, mark of 157 after that sort of performance, I'd have definite question marks with him.
Well, back or lay for you then, essentially, from what you're saying, I gather you'd probably be leaning more towards a lay for the Triumph Hurdle, would you?
Yeah, I'd be inclined to take him on now. He's 7-2, 4-1, roughly around that sort of price. It doesn't really entice me too much. Kempton is a very different track to what he's going to face at Cheltenham, and he will be taking on a lot more classy performers as well, so I'd be in the lay camp for definite and maybe looking for something at a better price.
And Owen, we can harp on about official ratings all day long. Sometimes they don't often always mean that much, do they, really? Just got to enjoy the race in the context of what it was. It was a brilliant performance. However, he has been given an official mark of 157. If Solo were to line up in, for example, the Champion Hurdle, he would be right up there with the highest rated in this year's field. I mean, that probably says a lot about this year's Champion Hurdle, which is a separate point. But are we going a little bit carried away on the back of just one run here? And I suppose it opens up a wider question about the rating system. I think Paul Nicholls quoted something along the lines of, quote, I think they've just plucked it out of thin air to give him a mark of 157. I mean, are we going overboard about Solo? Or genuinely, do you think he is a horse up to that level already?
Yeah, I do think a mark of 157 is very overboard. As you say, it puts him really near the top of the Champion Hurdle picture. For context, he's rated the same as last year's Triumph Hurdle winner. Pendleton Hills, and it's difficult to say that Solo is as good as Pendleton Hills after one Grade 2 win at Kempton where the form is potentially very questionable. He did beat Fujimoto Flyer, who's no slouch, and she was a listed winner, but it's certainly not the strongest Grade 2 form. The Triumph Hurdle could certainly suit him in terms of the fact that it's going to be a burn-up. All of the top ones in the market, like All Mankind, Goshen, Aspire Tower, they all are likely to want to have a slice of the pace. So he's certainly got a good chance in the Triumph, but a mark of 157, there's simply no way I'd say that that's warranted.
Well, indeed, I suppose lots to ponder on there. There will be a lot of people either with or against Solo, becoming a little bit of a Marmite horse already on the back of that rating. Very quickly, Andy Dufresne was very good at Punchdown with beating Captain Guinness. Wasn't given any entries at the Cheltenham Festival. Ran at Nace, disappointed, and only finishing third in that Grade 2 when sent off 6-5. James's Bubble Burst, can he come back? He's a horse who seems to have a lot of hype about him. I mean, what's your viewpoint on him?
Yeah, I can't really understand why he's so hyped. You know, obviously, early days when he won that bumper at Down Royal, he looked very impressive in his first start at Navan as well. But I don't know, he just looks like a fairly high-class performer, but not at the very top level yet. I suppose there is hope for Connections to think that once he does meet a fence, that he could turn into a different proposition altogether. But last Sunday, I wasn't overly disappointed with him. I thought he ran a fairly decent race. He was giving away weight, carrying a penalty for winning the Grade 2 at Punchestown. So it wasn't a terrible run. He does look a little bit high at some of his hurdles. Maybe when he hits a fence, he's going to be doing that bit better.
He just seems to be one of those horses. Perhaps I'm in the Twitter bubble, but every time I log on the Twitter, he seems to be mentioned for whatever reason. And yourself, Owen, Andy Dufresne, I mean, very quickly, you're not fussed by him. You think he's good, he's above average, or why are we even bothering talking about him? What's your viewpoint?
I think he's still a very good horse. I think his defeat at Nace was disappointing, but I think people are underestimating the form. Jason the Militant, you know, he's not a bad yardstick, and Beacon Edge was completely unexposed prior to that. So it wasn't a bad run. As James said, he was also conceding weight, which wouldn't have helped matters. Is he a Grade 1 horse? I probably wouldn't say he's at that level yet, but it's certainly it's far too early to be giving up on him.
Well, thanks for your input, gents. So, yeah, been a lot of pressure to talk about Andy Dufresne. As I said, very popular on social media circles, at least anyway. Right, having a look now at the William Hill supporting Greatwood Gold Cup handicap chase. 2 miles, 3 furlongs, 187 yards to be precise. Should have some pretty soft ground. Storm Horgate on the way, I think it has to be said. Now, Paul Nichols absolutely dominates this from the market point of view, doesn't he? We've got Montes Avalor, Secret Investor, San Benedetto, all towards top of affairs, vying for favouritism for this contest, which kicks off at 3:15. We'll come to you and James. San Benedetto won it last year. I've got a feeling you think he's going to go well once again.
Yeah, I think he has a very good chance of repeating the trick. He won the race last year, obviously, of £3 lower. Brian Carver is hopping on board to remove a valuable £5, and I think that's a wise move from Paul Nichols. The last time we got to see San Benedetto was back in November. Travelled fairly well over this course and distance for a long way, but just didn't really see the race out. I'd say he was possibly in need of that run, or else not towards his peak form, and no doubt that Nichols will have trained him with this race in mind once again. So I do think that he has a very good chance of repeating, so fingers crossed.
Would you be worried about the ground? Am I right in thinking that 9 of his 10 racecourse victories have come with the word good in the going description? If these rains do continue to derive, will that put you off him at all? Or you just think he's the horse to beat?
Yeah, if it went very testing, I wouldn't be as keen on his chances now. He can handle a bit of cut on the ground at the moment. I don't think it'll be too bad, so it kind of depends on how much rain comes between now and race time, but I still just think from a pure form book point of view and suitability to the track and so on and so forth, that he should have a good chance. He's roughly around 8-1. It's not a bad price.
No, and Owen, Paul Nichols, with the Yard operating nearly a 40% strike rate at the moment. They've got, as I said, a strong hand in here. But, I mean, what else is there to look out for in this race? A bit of a trappy contest.
Yeah, it's a very difficult contest. You can make a case for a lot of these. I think of the Nichols contingent, I'd be saying Secret Investor has the best chance. His recent form has been really solid. He returned this season with a very good second to Real Steel in Grade 2 company, and he was in the same grade when finishing second to Native River in the Denman here when last seen. And if you're taking that form literally, a mark of 1.53 could be seeing him go well. I think looking away from Nichols, Drumcliff is one I would say is of very, very high interest. His recent form hasn't been overly inspiring, but he's dropped to his last winning mark, which is 1.39. He's, you know, there were positives to take from him when he was last seen in October. He goes well on the back of breaks. He'll love the testing ground, so I think he could certainly be one to go well in a very, very difficult contest.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to admit, it's a bit of a puzzler, isn't it, really, this one? I thought the old boy, the 79-year-old Valdez, sorry, he's 13, actually, Vanden King and Tom Cannon, I thought he ran well. He finished third last year. Shouldn't be too inconvenienced by ground. The one horse I really underlined in this contest was Banks Groove. And the Harry Fry team had a wind up. Jonjo O'Neill Jr. booked. He's got some good form at the track, but his best form does appear to come on a sounder surface and going right-handed. So I just wonder whether this will get him back on track. And then perhaps something like Punches Down, something along those lines, may be better for Bags Groove. We shall see. Anyway, interesting there. James with San Benedetto to make it two wins on the bounce in this contest. Going ahead to Doncaster then, up on Town Moor. Now, of course, the Grimthorpe Chase is a proper old-fashioned staying chasers in this assignment. However, our Paul Nichols colleague here, Mr. James Boyle, is weighing in with Worthy Farm. Am I right? Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. I think Worthy Farm should have a good chance of potentially bringing up a hat-trick. He's improved the last twice since Blinkers went on, winning over 3 mile one at Wincanton. Clearly has no problem staying. Travelled very well last time out before beating the King's Writ by a couple of lengths and showed a much better attitude on that occasion as well. So he's the right profile to be going about winning a race such as this. The only minor worry I'd have is that his best form has come going right-handed. There is a little question mark as to whether he'll be as good going this way around, but he hasn't really had too many chances. So he's around 5-1 best price at the moment. I think that could potentially be generous for a horse that I can see being rated in the mid to high 140s in the not too distant future.
I suppose that's always the debate, isn't it? You take his lack of experience on the chin, given that he probably is unexposed and the handicapper hasn't got to the bottom of him. The wider point, Owen, in a race like this, do you tend to like the battle-hardened types who are more exposed but have kind of been there and done it, or do you look for the more progressive, inexperienced types and hope their jumping comes up trumps on the day?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think when the ground's heavy, you'd certainly be looking for one of those battle-hardened types, you know, but I think in a race like this, where the race is really, well, the front of the market at least is dominated by younger progressive horses, I think that's what you'd be looking for this year. The one that I had to bring around was Boldmere, who probably would have, he definitely would have brought up a hat-trick if he hadn't fallen on his latest start. He was 3 lengths clear when he came down at the last. He'd won his two prior starts really impressively, and he's very unexposed over 3 miles. He was only having his second start over the 3 mile distance when he did fall, when 3 lengths clear at Weatherby last time in a Grade 2. He goes back into handicaps of a difficult mark on what he's previously achieved, but he's still so unexposed, and the improvement should definitely be coming. So I think he's one who's potentially got a good chance.
Yeah, I suppose you don't win anything with kids is what Alan Hansen once said. But yeah, I think that the younger brigade in this contest are the ones we definitely are focusing on. We'll go elsewhere, moving on to Kelso. Now, I think ground conditions up there, all being well, touch wood, the meeting does go ahead. The Premier Novices Grade 2 contest will be a proper slog round in the mud for this race over the 2 miles and 2 furlongs. Look, You're keen on two Paul Nicholls horses so far, James. What about your view on this one?
Yeah, we may as well make it a hat-trick at this stage.
Yeah.
I think Calva Daig has a very good chance. He's around the 7-4 mark at present. He's attempting to make it a hat-trick of wins following a couple of victories in novice company. He was quite impressive last time out under a double penalty. He was giving away lumps of weight to a younger horse. That was around Plumpton. I think he did fairly well on that occasion. He's 3-3 over hurdles for this yard when he's outside of stakes company. His only defeats have come at listed and grade one level. But I do think he's worth it, another crack at this sort of level after his last two performances. And there should be more to come. The speed track, obviously, at Kelso, I think it's perfectly made for him. And that is a worry that I'd have with the mare, Clondaw Caitlin, whether she'll really appreciate dropping back a couple of furlongs and trip on a track that does favour those with raw speed. It could be a question mark. So that's kind of, once again, why I'm edging towards Paul Nicholls' runner.
Yeah, indeed. Proven form in bottomless ground as well. That, you know, ticks a lot of the right boxes. It could be a case of just to who sees out the conditions necessarily more than who's more progressive. And, you know, the class element, I always argue, to some extent, does go out the window. Not saying that Calva Daig doesn't have any class, but on that ground especially, I think he will be suited by it more than others. Look, James, I know you often like to venture off to foreign climates, looking at sand. Well, it's the sand closer to home that you are more interested in here. Now, you're a man for the all-weather bonanza, and I believe you're getting stuck in this weekend.
Yeah, I have a couple of bets on the all-weather for Saturday. I think they could hopefully prove to be interesting runners. The first of them is in a 5-furlong handicap around Lingfield in the 2 o'clock. I'm going to take on Royal Berth here, who's currently around the 7-4 mark. He ran a cracking race last week over course and distance in a listed contest, but he's gone up a pound for that. He's rated 100. I think he could potentially be vulnerable. The one that I like is The Greatest Showman for Amy Murphy and George Rucoppen on board, taking off a valuable £5. He didn't perform overly well last time at Kempton, but that was over 6 furlongs. He's best suited to a flat-out gallop over the minimum trip. Indeed, he won here last November off the same mark as today. So I think around 4-1 he could rate as a reasonable bet. The second selection is in the 6:30 at Southall. It's a 1.75 handicap. I'm going to take on Harbourfront. His form of his 1.5 win here last month has received a boost since, with Straight Outta Compton winning twice. But at the same time, Straight Outta Compton was dropping back to a mile, which obviously brought out the best in him. So around the 6-4 mark, I'd be happy to take him on. I'm going to take a punt on John Quinn's runner, Al Kerb. He's a 5-year-old. Didn't really run that well here last time out over the 1.5 miles. But I thought there was some promise in his run here back in December. He's £5 lower than that mark now. He's around 22-1 at the moment. I think if he does stay this trip, which could be possible based on some of his earlier showings when he was trained by Roger Charlton, the price could be made to look very big. So Al Kerb in the 6:30 at Southall and The Greatest Showman at 2 o'clock at Lingfield are my two.
Did you like The Greatest Showman? Have you watched the film?
I have not.
No, you're not a fan of the kind of musical film production? I thought that'd be your kind of thing.
Not really. Be much more interested in series and stuff rather than movies, so avoided that one.
Right, I've touched the nerve there. No worries. Speaking of people who put on a great show, or specifically horses that put on a great show, news filtered through just before we recorded this. The great Undersow has picked up an injury and is retiring. Absolutely fantastic horse, multiple Grade 1 winner. Some wonderful times, especially at the Cheltenham Festival and away from the Cheltenham Festival. Just all in all, a terrific horse, Owen. Sad to see him not have one last roll of the dice in what on paper looks like a fantastic renewal of the Champion Chase this year. But yeah, your thoughts on his retirement?
Yeah, I think if you wanted a horse to really define gutsy, tenacious, full of heart, I think Undersow would definitely be the one you'd be looking at. A 10-time Grade 1 winner, which is absolutely fantastic in his prime. People forget, really, that he was a Grade 1 winner as recently as April 2019 when he beat Min by 4 lengths. Both his runs this season, he ran really well. Second to Defi Desoy on both occasions. He pushed him really hard in the Tingle Creek. Yeah, he was well held in the Clarence House, but he still ran a fantastic race given that he's now a 12-year-old. For me, my favourite Undersown moment would definitely be the Ryanair in 2017. There were doubts about whether he'd get home. And you know, jumping the last, he was 5 lengths clear. Ruby Walsh absolutely threw him at the last. And he just picked up fantastically. And that was Undersown in a nutshell. He did everything required of him and a little bit more. Just a fantastic horse.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, indeed. I think Undersown, a brilliant horse, especially when the mud was flying. In a way, I thought when he lost the Champion Chase to Sprinter Sacra, that he almost made that race in the sense that everyone thought, well, Sprinter was finished, Undersown was going to run away with it. And yet in defeat, you could say, we heard the aftermath, Ruby Walsh said, ground was just too quick for my fella, but he would not give in. And a wonderful racehorse. Shame to see him bow out on those terms. But nonetheless, we move on. Well, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Hope you at home have got a few pointers to the weekend action. We're hoping Storm Jorge, coronaviruses, God knows whatever what, do not put any more dampeners on the spirits of racing at the moment. But look, there's some quality action on the course. As I said, don't forget to follow My Racing Tips on Twitter. Please gamble responsibly. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure and we'll do it all again next week.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.